The fighting that's been raging for a year in Syria now seems more civil war than Arab Spring uprising. Today there are reports that the Syrian army has regained control of some suburbs of Damascus that had been held by rebel forces. There will be a push at the UN this week by Britain, France, and the Arab League for a resolution that would effectively call for President Bashar al-Assad to step down. The resolution is expected to have enough support to at least come up for one vote, but Russia is expected to veto it. The BBC's Richard Galpin has this report on Russia's ties to Syria.
The haunting sound of gunfire and explosions in the Syrian city of Hama as people shout "God is great" from nearby buildings. It's impossible to verify, but the man filming this violence says the security forces are shelling the district. Most of the weapons used by Syrian forces have been supplied by Russia. And even though the UN estimates that 5,500 civilians have been killed since last March, Moscow continues to send its longtime ally arms and ammunition. The latest consignment arriving by ship a few weeks ago, prompting a strong rebuke by Britain's ambassador to the United Nations, Mark Lyle Grant.
We are concerned about the supply of weapons into Syria. It is glaringly obvious that transferring weapons into a volatile and violent situation is irresponsible and will only fuel the bloodshed.
And the violence has surged recently, with the opposition refusing to be intimidated and even taking control in some areas with its own rebel fighters. Civil war looming ever nearer. Moscow insists it's doing nothing wrong. It's not part of an arms embargo and has contracts with Syria it says it has to honour. It also wants to maintain its navy base in Syria, Russia's only base in the Mediterranean. At a recent news conference, the Syrian foreign minister, Walid al-Mualem, said he'd spoken to a Russian minister and was assured Moscow's position towards Syria was strong. In other words, Russia would continue to protect its ally by vetoing resolutions at the United Nations Security Council. But siding with the Syrian government is leaving Moscow increasingly isolated. Salman Sheikh is director of the Brookings Institution in the Gulf state of Qatar.
The Gulf states in particular have got more and more upset that these arms are now feeding and supporting the efforts of the regime, and the Russians are standing firm against any kind of a UN effort to impose an arms embargo on Syria.
So, with diplomatic activity now resuming at the UN Security Council, is there a chance Russia will rethink its support for Syria, enabling the international community to take a united stand on the crisis? Konstantin Kosachev, deputy head of the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Russian Parliament, clearly does have doubts about backing the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad.
We do have a feeling which becomes stronger that there is a kind of a game being played by Mr. Assad and his government. He does make promises, but he never fulfills these promises. So we are not happy with Mr. Assad, but we do believe that Mr. Assad and the civil society of Syria still have a chance to communicate with each other and to have a political dialogue with each other.
That means Russia will oppose the draft resolution now before the Security Council, because in effect it calls on President Assad to resign quickly. But Mr. Kosachev did warn that if dialogue does not get underway, Russia will change policy and allow Security Council resolutions to pass. The Syrian journalist and opposition spokesman in Britain, Malik al-Abdeh, believes that would be a critical moment.
If Russia stops supporting the Syrian regime, I think the regime will feel extremely isolated, will feel weakened. People within the regime, influential members of the regime, will try to look for an escape route. They will try to defect to neighbouring countries, and this is when the regime will probably crumble very quickly.
That report from the BBC's Richard Galpin.